Welcome back to the Bun Sports Show. This Wednesday after the regular season has been completed, the SEC Championship game as well as a number of other championship games took place last week. LSU, starting in the first half, scored 42 unanswered points to defeat the Georgia Bulldogs 42-10 in the 20th playing of the Southeastern Conference Championship games. We're going to run over the records of each SEC team and get the college football professor's opinion about them and the entire season as he joins me on this Wednesday. But first, your opening thoughts on just the season as a whole in college football.
Well, first of all, I'm going to make this statement. The BCS got it right. I know it has its critics. I know that a lot of people want to say they should have done this, should have done that, should have this system, should have had that system. But the BCS got it right. The best two teams will be playing in the national championship game.
Just to clarify, you're talking about Alabama and LSU playing in New Orleans.
Absolutely. Let's just look at it. Some people even talking about, well, we ought to have a plus one. I ask you, Jacob, would a plus one be fair to LSU?
I think no. I think LSU would have to play an extra game. Although I may end up being in favor of the plus one in the long haul, I think you're right. I think you make an excellent point. They would have to play Stanford, and that would be unfair given the season they've had.
Overall, I think it's been a great season, and I believe if we look at things as they are, we would see that this has been a great football season. There's been a lot of interest. We have had a lot of great games and a lot of games that's come down to the end. And if I could classify this season, I would say it's the season of the missed field goals.
Yes, no doubt. Oregon missed one, Boise State missed one, several others missed one, including Oklahoma State in that Iowa State game that has become famous. Just to recap, Sunday night the BCS standings were announced, and as Reese Davis unveiled them on ESPN, it was LSU and Alabama in the top two, Oklahoma State missing by the narrowest of margins. Stanford followed right behind the all polls, Harris poll, coaches poll, including the Associated Press poll, which is not a factor in the BCS, all put LSU and Alabama as number one and number two, respectively, in the BCS standing. So let's recap the SEC. What kind of a year has it been? And I'm going to fire off some records here and get the college football professor's grade and job performance report on each team, as I do in each coaching job. We'll start with the bottom of the SEC, and of course there's nowhere else to look but Ole Miss. Obviously Houston Nutt has gone. We'll go with Ole Miss and Kentucky. Those two programs played. Kentucky got the better of Ole Miss. What do you make of those two seasons?
First of all, Ole Miss was just a train wreck. It was a train wreck from the beginning. This team was just a very bad football team. But yet this very bad football team in the middle of the season was able to beat Fresno State pretty handily. So how do you explain that? And Kentucky, even though it had a very bad season, had some big losses, it came up with a couple of pretty good wins. But I don't think they did much to deserve any credit, because I think most everyone thought Kentucky would be a little bit better than that, and no one dreamed, even in a nightmare form, that Ole Miss's season would be as bad as it was.
From the state of Tennessee, you have a 5-7 team in Tennessee getting edged out by Kentucky on the last week of the year, preventing them from getting to a bowl. Vanderbilt, though, 6-6. What a great season for James Franklin. Break down those two teams.
Well, first of all, Tennessee did not have a much worse season than I thought they would have. I thought they'd be better. It wasn't just the record. It's just that at times they just didn't play very well. And Vanderbilt, even though I was not totally surprised by their record, I thought they played better than I thought they would. But think about this. Out of Vanderbilt's six losses, one was to South Carolina, one was to Alabama, one was to Georgia, one was to Arkansas, the other two were to Florida and Tennessee. Mm-hmm. So really, when you look at that, those are not six bad losses. There's not a bad loss on that schedule.
A pair of 6-6 teams, one that you might have expected it from, one not so much. Mississippi State went through the year but only lost to teams that are currently ranked in the BCS top 25. Florida, on the other hand, I think a lot of people expected more from them. They only won two out of their last five games, or two out of their last seven, really, if you go all the way back to the beginning of October. So really a rough ending for Will Muschamp to his first season. Break down Mississippi State and Vanderbilt's years.
I think you're right. But it's interesting, you know, when people are wanting to try to show, let's just say when they talk about Oklahoma State's schedule and Alabama's schedule, want to talk about their losses and all that. When you start to think about it, in the SEC, they said, well, Alabama just beat a couple of 6-6 teams. You know, they wanted to classify those as not having a winning record. But let's look at Mississippi State, for instance. Mississippi State had 6 losses. Those 6 losses were to teams who finished in the final BCS Top 25. They lost to Auburn, LSU, Georgia, South Carolina, Alabama, and Arkansas. Now, any team in the West had to play at one time the top 3 teams in the country.
It's amazing.
And Florida. Now, Jacob, I'm going to say this. We know that Florida in some games just didn't look very well.
No.
So I think it's the eye test. But there's also a perception here. There's a perception that Florida should have been better. But when you look at Florida's losses, the same thing is true. They lost to Alabama, LSU, Auburn, Georgia, South Carolina, and Florida State. So that's not, there's not a bad loss in those 6. So in some ways, even though Mississippi State, we might have expected them to have a better record, when you really look at it, it'd been very hard for them to have much better than that. They might have won 7 games, but in fact, there was one game they should have won out of that list. And then Florida, we certainly expected them to have a better record, but when you look at it, there's not a bad loss in their group.
To a 7-5 team, the only 7-5 team in the conference, that is Auburn, they beat South Carolina and Florida, which were swing games before the year, lost to Clemson. Clemson ended up being a really good team. LSU, Georgia, and Alabama were also losses, as well as Arkansas for the Tigers. South Carolina went through the season in all of their... They played poorly against Auburn. Of course, they also were beaten by Arkansas. No teams really from the East fared well against the West, but South Carolina still made history and got to 10 wins for the first time, and that comes on the heels of winning the East last year. So I think it's been overshadowed by Alabama, LSU, Georgia, all the rest going on in the SEC, but Steve Spurrier has really done a phenomenal job of building South Carolina into a power in the SEC East. Talk about Auburn and South Carolina.
Well, first of all, Auburn is just one of those schools that just happened to be in the SEC West this year. And if you were in the SEC West this year, you were just lined up for trouble. That's all it is to it. Because here they lost in the SEC West. They lost to Alabama, LSU, and Arkansas. Well, then they lost to Georgia, who was the East champion. And they lost to Clemson, who is the ACC champion, going to the Orange Bowl. So those are not, of those 5, there's not a bad loss. Now, when you talk about South Carolina, I think South Carolina might have been a team that really achieved just a little bit more than we expected. Not necessarily that we wouldn't have thought they would have won 9 or 10 games, but think about this, Jacob. If they were to win their bowl game, this will be the first time in the history of South Carolina to win 11 games.
I know. It's really amazing what he has done there, and I think they're only going to continue to reload. Their defense is stout. It's not the kind of typical Steve Spurrier offense we've seen over the years, but if you can complement the offense with a good defense, and South Carolina's had that, they certainly can be a force. And how about that Auburn game? They lose by 3. If they win that game, they're in the discussion, I think, for the national championship. So very interesting there. How about Arkansas and Georgia? Georgia, of course, as you mentioned, was the SEC East champion. They lost to Boise State and South Carolina the first 2 games of the year, then won 10 straight, beating some decent teams, Georgia Tech, Auburn, Tennessee, Mississippi State, but they didn't have a quality win. A lot of people thought they could give LSU some trouble. Others, like myself, did not. They ended up giving LSU a better game than I thought in the first half, but then imploded in the second half. Arkansas, 10 wins on the year. The second year in a row, they have gone 10-2. Guess what? Also, the second year in a row, they've lost to Alabama and the team that ended up number 1 in the BCS, LSU, which last year, of course, they lost to Auburn as well. So amazing years for Arkansas and a pretty good year for Georgia, but I wouldn't buy too much into it, your analysis of those 2 teams.
Well, when you talk about Arkansas, I think they had a great year. I think they have a very good football team. But I want to help us to see this, and I'm not trying to paint a picture that's not there, but when you look at the portrait, you have to recognize the quality that's there. Here is Arkansas, a very, very good football team. Here's Arkansas, who has a potent, powerful offense. But yet, they were beaten soundly by almost identical scores by Alabama and LSU. And I think they helped to paint the portrait of how good and how LSU and Alabama are the best two teams.
I think you're right.
When you look at Georgia, here's the thought that comes to my mind. They did lose their first two games. Now, I think when they lost to Boise, they lost to a good football team.
Sure.
Boise is a good football team. And they lost to South Carolina. How did South Carolina turn? A very good football team.
Right.
I think at the time, we might not have thought that South Carolina was quite as good as they were. And so we were a little bit disappointed in it. So when you really look at it, those first two losses weren't bad losses. Now, you're absolutely right in when you think about their next 10 games that they were able to win. But here's the thing, Jacob. You realize that schedule that didn't have any great teams in it. They did have Florida. They did have Vanderbilt. They did have those kind of teams. But that would probably be pretty equal to most schedules that most teams in the country play. So we're comparing their weak schedule, so to speak, during that time to the schedule of a team playing in the West.
Yeah, wouldn't it be interesting for Georgia to swap places with, like, a Wisconsin and play a Big Ten championship game to see how they would fare there? Oh, wait, they are. They're playing Michigan State in the Capital One Bowl, so I think we will get to see that's the Outback Bowl, I'm sorry. So we will get to see Georgia against the Big Ten champion of one division, Michigan State, ended up losing to Wisconsin. Okay, down the top two teams, no introduction needed. Alabama, 11-1, and LSU, 13-0. You said earlier they were the best two teams in the country and deserved to play in the BCS championship game. Well, they're there. What is your analysis of those two teams and the years they had?
Well, let me make one other statement about these other teams before we come to these top two teams. We were talking about Vanderbilt not having a bad loss.
Right.
The next to the last game, Vanderbilt played Wake Forest, who's a middle-of-the-pack team from the ACC, and they beat them 41-7. Does that
impressive.
Say something to us?
I think so.
Now, when you look at Alabama and you look at LSU, and I think if anyone stepped back and looked at it objectively, they would see that these two teams not only beat the opponents they played, and I'm talking about good ones. We won't kid ourselves when we talk about some of the weaker teams they played, even though some of them might not have been as weak as some people thought they were. But you have to be impressed by the style and the way that these two teams, Alabama and LSU, beat their opponents. I mean, you look at Arkansas, you look at Auburn, You look at these teams and you see that Alabama and LSU beat them by large scores. Let's take Vanderbilt. I just mentioned they didn't have a bad loss. They beat Wake Forest 41-7. Alabama beat Vanderbilt 34-0. And when you look at that way, I think you begin to see the picture that LSU and Alabama were just absolute powerful football teams this year. And then you look at LSU coming to the championship game in the same manner that they had come off of the Arkansas game, falling behind, looking like they wasn't there ready to play, and all of a sudden, bang, here's the 42-10. I mean, it's amazing what these two teams
And I will
did.
Say one thing about LSU. You talked about Alabama beating Vanderbilt, who beat Wake Forest. If I'm not mistaken, Georgia went into Georgia Tech 2 weeks ago and dismantled that potent offense run by Paul Johnson and his coaching staff there. And then the next week, LSU beats Georgia 42-10. So that also accentuates how good LSU is as well. How about nationally? What are your thoughts nationally about this year and certain teams that might be in the mix? We saw Wisconsin beat Michigan State for the Big Ten championship. Pac-12 championship, no contest there. Of course, Oregon won that one. Oklahoma State did beat Oklahoma in convincing fashion. Not sure what Oklahoma was doing in that game. Very easily. And they won that conference. And, of course, in the ACC, Clemson routed Virginia Tech for the second time to win that conference. Yes, your thoughts nationally.
Well, there you go. You say that Clemson routed Virginia Tech for the second time, and yet just a week before, South Carolina routed Clemson. When you think about it, one of the two teams that's in the Rose Bowl was soundly beaten by an SEC team. Both teams that are in the Orange Bowl were routed by SEC teams. So I think if you look at it nationally,
that's a good point.
You have to think about the fact, and I know it sounds like a biased statement, and it may be. That's for someone else to evaluate. But when you look at it, look at the numbers, look at it objectively, you have to say that the SEC is the story of college football in the 2011 season. Now, let me give you a couple of examples of something.
Okay.
All right, let's take four of the top ten. And they are, I think, the top four, but Oklahoma State, Stanford, Alabama, and LSU.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we can talk about perception. We can talk about a lot of different things, way teams win. But I'm one who keeps coming back to looking at the numbers. So let's look at the numbers of these top four teams. Looking at it from the average yards gained in each game, and then the average yards given up in each game. And if you took the average yards gained and you subtracted the average yards given up, then that gives you a net difference. For instance, Oklahoma State gained on an average of 532 yards a game. They surrendered on the average of 448 yards a game. That gives them a net of 84 yards. Stanford, average gain, 480 yards. Average number of yards given up, 331. That gives them a net of 149. Alabama had 433 yards on offense. They gave up 191 yards on defense. That gives them a net of 242. LSU had an average gain of 375 yards. They gave up 252. That's an average net of 123. So if we looked at the facts or statistics or yards gained and lost, then we would have Alabama 1, Stanford number 2, LSU 3, and Oklahoma State 4. Now, there are other factors. We know that LSU and their special teams and their amount of giveaway, takeaway,
yep,
has made the difference. That's right. The thing. It's the, if you really look at the numbers, the thing that's made LSU as strong as they are, it's the giveaway, takeaway statistic and their special teams.
Well, coming down here to the end of our program, I just wanted to ask you, who do you think, you've evaluated all the candidates, Les Miles, Bill Snyder at Kansas State, James Franklin at Vanderbilt, there's been a lot of coaches that have had great years. Who do you think deserves to be Coach of the Year this year? The College Football Professor's Coach of the Year, who do you give it to?
First of all, I can tell you one person I'm not going to give it to. I'm not going to give it to Barney Fife, because I don't think Barney Fife is deserving. So he's out of running. And so if I'm not going to give it to Barney Fife, I'm going to try to give it to someone who's just made accomplishments beyond reality, not just perception.
Right.
See, if we went by perception, everybody loves Barney Fife, right? So they'd give it to him. He'd get the votes. So I'm going to go with Bill Snyder from Kansas State. And I not only look at it for the record he's had this year, but last year. And I think about the fact he was at Kansas State and he had a strong run there. He retired. Their program went to nothing, and he brought them back to this level.
They will face Arkansas in the AT&T Cotton Bowl. That is on January the 6th. You can see that. It's televised at Fox Sports. We will have a complete bowl preview show next week. College Football Professor will join me on Wednesday, so don't miss it. Next week we will preview the entire field of bowls, 35 of them there are. We will tell you which the top five bowls we think that you ought to watch this year, as well as the bottom five bowls, which bowls do not really bring an appeal to their audience. We will talk about those next week, and of course, break down the national championship game as it gets closer. But we will be back next Wednesday to preview the bowls. Everyone, take care. We'll be back soon.